Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
All right. We are Hayden Hunter in the Yearly Trials. Welcome to Close on Sunday.
We'll be right back.
This song is called Floor in Your Fucking Car.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and we've never quite done this, and I appreciate y'all being some guinea pigs for many things done today.
Thanks for having us.
We're at Al Spirits of Music here in Reform, Alabama. We got the backdrop from where the band just played, and first time we had a full band, drums, bass, guitar. We had Hayden Hunter in the Yearly Trials.
It's awesome.
What's up, Brandon and Simon?
Yep.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Simon.
Yeah, the guest is Hayden.
Yeah.
By the way, this is Hayden, everybody. Man, I appreciate y'all coming up here to play the show. I know, like, something like this, I appreciate y'all taking a chance on it. Same with, like, taking a chance on Porch Fest. Like, I know it's kind of like a weird request. You're like, what? Even more so with this, but, like, I try to create kind of pretty fun environment and give a... It's all about discovery.
Yeah, you did a good job. Yeah. Porch Fest was awesome.
Speaking of discovery, the bands you had at that event was fire. Like, the whole night was jamming.
Yeah.
From solo
artists. We thoroughly enjoyed that night.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Well, dude, I knew the first full band I was going to have booked in here was y'all because, I mean, like, y'all was, like, top tier and, like, really have become my favorite band since then. And
that really
then when the music dropped on your streamers, YouTube, Spotify, whatever, That's a daily burner, man.
That means a lot.
And it, you know, it's even better that y'all local. Like, this is about to pop off because there's something about it. So congrats, man. Tell me a little bit about the formation.
Man, it really started about 2 years ago, like, or actually the beginning of 2024. We used to do a lot more of the covery kind of thing. And then one day I just like was tired of it. And so Simon's been with us since before then.
2023.
Yeah, he's been playing this project since 2023. Brandon's the newest addition.
The new guy.
New and cool guy.
No, I was happy that I came across them. I was doing like a little entertainment thing, and they swung by my house for a little session. And I was like, these guys are good. And so when Hayden hit me up, I was like, you want to play some drums? When are we jamming? Give me the songs. I'll start learning right now. So.
Yeah.
You want to explain the name, the Yearly Trials?
Oh, the Yearly Trials all started because we had like a revolving door of just crazy mess happen every year. And it was like, it became an inside joke that kind of stuck. It was like, hey, this year, who are we going to lose? Like, you know, what's going to happen or what kind of crazy stories are going to come about it?
Well, that's pretty cool. I guess I should have asked like just about the name of it first. But yeah, good grief. Like when I think Yearly Trials, like why it's perfect is like that's kind of what I had in mind. I just didn't know it. There must be a spiraling cast of characters.
It's funny, I'm learning this information with you, Al. I didn't know the name.
Oh, great.
So I interpret it as, you know, Hayden Hunter and, like, the problems we deal with yearly. Like,
he writes
lyrics about life, good and bad, struggles.
Bad mistakes.
You know, everything we all go through. So I just assumed that was the name of the... And then we're going to do some stuff this year.
Yeah, you're pretty bad.
But so, that was good.
Welcome to your first problem. We brought you here to Alabama to break some news.
There you go. All right, well,
Simon,
see you guys later.
Will you lead this?
I'm sorry to break it to you, Brandon.
All right, well.
Oh, man. Well, man, just like from formation and... Jackson, Mississippi has a great music scene. Tell me a little bit about, like, just kind of growing up and, like, just being in that scene.
Man, it was cool. Like, I honestly grew up going to, like, metal shows, met a bunch of friends since I was, like, 14. So, going to metal shows, it's always been a small but, like, blossoming community. It's a bunch of people who are there for one another and kind of want to try to build something better constantly. So, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to kind of be in. And, very talented people out there, and a lot of good people.
Absolutely. What about y'all two, man? Like, what's it like being in that area?
So, I grew up in Raymond, Mississippi, which is about 10 miles out from Jackson. I still claim Jackson, but for me, music is one of those things. Me and my friends played a lot of music together. I went on to community college, played in jazz band, jazz combo, all the institutional music sort of things, but it was a way to play with my friends and all that stuff. And through that, I got involved with the Jackson scene, started branching out a lot more, going out to a lot of shows, saw Hayden, and the rest is history, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
I remember when I met you, this is before we used to do like a two-piece kind of thing, but we'd have like some other guest guitarist, kind of like, not to name any names, but certain bands that have two pieces, but that was what we were trying to go for originally. And then Simon actually, after a gig at an Irish pub that's not around anymore.
Is he proactive hitting you up?
He walked up, he was like, y'all would be good with the bass player. I was like, all right, let me see what this guy's about.
Yeah, he looked at me, he was like, oh, you're a jagoff.
No, I was like, let me see. And then now he was good. Now here it is.
Fast forward now. I'm new to the whole Jackson scene. I'm actually from Arizona. My wife is born and raised in Mississippi. I met her out in Arizona, and we packed the family and came out here. But all I have to say, coming from a big city in the music scene, it's about just being cool and there's no vibe. But I came here and these are one of the first bands I met too, these two guys. But starting getting to know all the different bands. The bands out here support each other. They stay for the whole show. They share each other's flyers. They run it up. I mean, there's so much more support in the community. It's smaller, but I think the amount of love is bigger, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. This is an interesting fact about the state as a whole. But like, just one thing about community, and it is a little different like when it comes to Alabama and Mississippi, it seems. Even though they're twin states, like, man, I feel like it's hard for someone in Alabama to get into the Mississippi scene and vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true.
And, like, a lot of times, man, and I'm sure, like, Arizona, you feel this, it's like, it's a lot of cutthroat. Absolutely. I mean, and it's hard to get away from that, but, like, when it comes to the state of Mississippi, like, per capita, the state is like out of the 50, the most bizarre with this. If you were to just walk to anybody on the street. The percentage of people in the state, it's over 70%, they would identify as an artist.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like, the difference in Alabama, Mississippi, again, it's a lot easier to be an artist in Mississippi. Just because, like, it seems like it's more cohesive and more people support it because they get it.
But we also have that history and that
Jim Hansen with the Muppets. Hansen,
yeah. All the Delta Blues artists,
yeah.
All the Hill Country artists, they all came from Mississippi. You know, R.L. Burnside, Muddy Waters, all these legendary artists from Mississippi. And that's something that's important to me, is carrying on a legacy within the state, you know.
Absolutely.
Continuing to push for that art forward into the future.
That's what seems to be, like, I'm learning more and more about being here and just living here and seeing the things. Like, oh, wait, that was here. You know what I mean? Like, all the things that you hear about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just, like, my own beloved, like, probably my favorite movie of all time, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah.
You know, it's the Southern Odyssey.
Yeah.
I don't get it, Big Dan. It's all about the Money Boys.
All about the Money Boys.
The Money Boys.
Oh,
it's a great movie.
Yeah, just I mean, just growing up and you see the Muppets on TV. They came from my.
Is this from here?
That's from Mississippi.
Mississippi. Yeah.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
Another thing to
up around Cleveland.
Wow.
It's
great being here. I think someone asked me, "Do you miss Arizona?" At first, I did, but being more involved and just, I don't know. I'm really, really, really starting to love it here. The weather, the people, like you said, everyone I've been meeting, I call them funky people, artsy music, some sort of creative, you know. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
It's cool to be here.
Man, just like growing up, we're in Reform, Alabama, and like I grew up just north of here in Kennedy, about 10 miles up the road. This town was where I would wake up on a Saturday or Sunday morning and come get me a biscuit from Jack's. Like, I've always done business in this town, and hell, John's from this town, but the same applies here as it did in Kennedy, and I'm sure it's this way in y'all's place, even though you may be living around the capital of the state, but from a smaller area, is we had to make our own fun.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, man, it might have been skateboarding, it might have been like graffiti or paintballing, or I mean, it could have been hunting, music. Or it could be a mix of things. But like, just coming from a place to where like you have to make your own fun, like when somebody's trying to do something cool, you really want to wrap your arms around it and kind of be a part of it. Hey. How can I help it?
Yeah.
That sounds fun. I want to be a part of it. You know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel out here.
Grassroots growth, man.
Well, tell me a little bit about like finding the sound, man. And just like as far as you like getting into music, and then I want to hear from each of y'all like the story of like why. And then, like, we'll talk about the overall sound, because, like, my impression was y'all blew my ears back at Porch Fest, and now, like, to have it here, like, in the store, which is a feat we pulled off, but yet very ridiculous thing to do.
It was cool. It was cool. No bottles were broken.
Nothing broke. Hey, almost.
Hey, close. Hey, we have video proof.
Yeah, we're good.
But, man, just...
Yeah,
how are you finding this sound, man, and how'd you get into it?
I think it's just it's really an evolution of like me obviously growing up around the blues and all of that. Like, it's a large backbone of, I guess, our sound and everything. But at the same time, I grew up listening to like punk rock, indie rock was huge when I was kind of growing up. Any kind of alt, like emo, Midwest emo, all of that stuff was huge, and I was like kind of pumping it in my ears constantly. And that stuff got me through some stuff, like how the blues gets people through things. And so the combination of those, all of the alt genres I listened to in this, I think just naturally cemented itself over time. You know, it's just, it's kind of grown. It's like, oh, I like the sound from this thing. It's just, it's beautiful. It's easy for me to create something that feels natural based off what I like, I feel like.
Well, man, I can just tell, like, just from you describing it right there, just from some of the song titles and the lyrics of the songs, I mean, that's what it's about. Mm. Novocaine.
That song's about...
Ain't Shit Free.
Yeah.
You know?
That song's about money.
Yeah. I found your lyrics are very relatable.
Yeah, same.
And at the same time, I can interpret how I, you know, like the band name. Like, I can interpret my own way, but, like, I can also see a blueprint of why you wrote it, probably.
Before I move on from you, Hayden, like, but what made you want to pick up a guitar, man?
Man,
I know you said growing up in it, but, like, was it a family member? Or?
There was a family member who played guitar. He played in some, like, the new metal kind of early 2000s rock thing.
Korn?
It wasn't with Korn. It was a band called Fuse X, and they kind of like, I don't know what they ever did or did anything, but I remember seeing that as a kid, and I was like,
hell yeah,
this shit's awesome. And that's, it kind of stuck from there, and I picked it up. Didn't pick it up until I was 12, because like you said, skateboarding. Busted my head quite a few times. I was like, yeah, fuck this, I'm done. And so I picked up a guitar instead, and I guess the rest is kind of history on that one.
Hell yeah.
Brandon,
what's up?
What was the question?
Dude, just like picking up drums or guitar. I've already asked a couple of questions, but and I know the answer. But man, you just getting into music and like what came first, like percussion, guitar, like your journey with it.
Okay, I can remember right now. 4 years old, I walked in the living room. For the first time, I finally recognized what the turntable was, and it had these VU meters on it. And I was watching my dad put records on. So instead of watching TV and cartoons, I wanted to learn this, what is this thing? So I had to get involved with music and just like, what? And my parents were young, so they had all the good rock records. So I grew up listening to Prince, AC/DC, I mean, you name Fleetwood Mac, everything. I would just go through those vinyls, and I couldn't help but like dance and want to. I'd grab my dad's tennis racket and make guitars and bang on pillows. And I was like, I need to be involved in this. So I don't know, as a young age, I just wanted to make music. Hyper fixate on it ever since. So it's probably, you're probably a little insane with it, but just went with it, you know.
Couldn't have nailed that.
That's it, yeah.
And so like was the move from Arizona to here, like it was, Mississippi's history easy? A lot, well, at least I got that. I got to put up with the humidity and the heat.
That's what
that part.
It's funny because I was working back home and I was running a print business and we had a warehouse and I had a swamp cooler, so we were cranking and be like, get used to that humidity. You're going to move to Mississippi soon, but it was most sort of just leaving a place I'd been for so long and put roots in there and then go someplace brand new. But being so involved in music back home and just having that love for it, I think I just kind of sniffed out the good musicians, you know. And so
I'd agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like when you like something, it just kind of finds you or you find it, so it's been cool. Like at first it was a big move, but I'm glad I did it, you know. It's a cool state. Like I like what you said, how it's so weird, you know what I mean? It's but in a good way, I think.
Like the good kind of eccentric.
But to pick up drums, I just wanted to do that because I just wanted to make people move. I love seeing people move to music, you know what I mean? Because you can reach somebody without using words.
If you ain't got bass or drums, they ain't gonna move.
It's true.
Exactly.
We are rather important. No, I'm just crazy about music. That's it.
Hell yeah, Simon, dude, tell me a little bit about that journey, man.
So it's a bit of a funny story.
Oh god.
My childhood, from infancy to I was about 12 years old at that time, I didn't want anything to do with music because my mom was a gospel singer, and she would drag me around to all the gigs she played.
Oh, you got burnt out quick.
Yeah, all the churches around Jackson, all the churches around Mississippi, I got dragged around. And I wanted nothing to do with music. I wanted to be like my dad. I wanted to be a scientist. And
which he kind of is.
He wears a Pink Floyd shirt. I knew he wanted to be a scientist.
No, I call him Scientist Simon behind his back. So
right. But when I was about 12 years old, I heard dubstep for the first time. And it blew my fucking mind. And I remember I went on a Google rabbit hole. I was like, how to make dubstep? How do I make beats? And all this stuff. And
they use the bass guitar?
No, I hadn't even learned bass or guitar at that point. My first instrument, if you could call it that, was the computer. I made beats from ages like 12 all the way to today. I do that in my spare time. But
that's cool.
When I was about 15 or 16 is whenever I started actually finding out that there were people in my community who played real live music. Like, that really blew my mind. And I also had my brother's influence. He was a guitarist, played with a lot of sort of really shitty Raymond bands at the time. And for him, it was a similar thing that wound up being for me, which is it was a way for him to play with his friends. It was a way for them to express themselves. And my brother's influence really got me into trying out guitar and all that stuff. So I was about 15 or 16, picked up a guitar for the first time, and it just clicked. And then my friend group at the time, a couple years later, they all played an instrument. So we had a guitarist, we had a drummer, and we had another guitarist, and they were like, we need a bass player, man. So they looked at me and they were like, you play bass. it's stuck ever since.
He's good at bass.
There's something about bass, man. It goes back to that to those roots with me making electronic music back when I was 12. You know, it's that hyper focus on the bass and how it structures a song and how it leads and guides everything, you know.
I base a lot of my grooves off the riffs that he comes up, but I'm following what Simon's doing because he's moving around, you know, and so
yeah, dude,
I kind of bounce my rhythm off him, and then we're still following the song structure. But
I enjoy playing bass. Yeah. I'm a huge bass head. Like when Philip lets me play, like with those guys, man, I really enjoy that because, like, you bass is like it doesn't get the credit, but man, can it set the tone?
It makes the asses move.
Yeah,
it does
for real.
It's and the then like, it's the hip and shaker. Then when the bass and the drums work together,
they click.
Yeah,
and then the guitars free up to where they're like, and I think that's like one thing that I was telling. I think Josh was like. One thing I like about a lot of your songs is it's ever-changing. Like, it's not even a place where it necessarily makes sense, which is another thing I like is, oh, new change. We're not playing that style. We're faster now. we're swapping time signatures.
Yeah. And that comes from our background playing covers and being a bit of a jam band back in the day.
Yeah.
We got used to communicating with one another on stage and changing things up just on the fly.
That's cool.
So we still carry that to this day.
Yeah, I mean, just back to the money song, right? Ain't shit free. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just out of nowhere, it kind of kicks up to where it's almost like bluegrassy.
Yeah, very country-esque leaning, for
and
sure.
Then, another change. So, man, like, that's well done on that. What about, like, influences? Like, man, I get, like, Rise Against from you.
Yeah, I do like Rise Against, Bad Religion. Who else from that time period? That's just, like, hot water music.
Yeah.
The Gaslight Anthem is one of my favorite bands, and the Social Distortion. So, like, all those kind of things. It's a lot of that. My, like, pop in headphones. You know, that's some of the shit I like to listen to a lot still. So.
Hell yeah. Brandon, what's up, dude? Tell me some.
Man,
influences.
I was trying to think of the influences when you were. You know, like when you're in school, you're like, I'm next, you. I'm next.
all right, Simon, pop this.
Well, hey, I'm wearing it right here.
He already knows.
He was ready.
But yeah. Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, all those classic rock bands. Also like the 90s grungy stuff. Alice in Chains, some Deftones, you know, that sort of stuff. Really, that's what shaped me playing guitar and bass. But when it comes to just general music stuff, I've got way too many artists to sit here and list out. Like
Chappelle, Chaperon.
Fuck no.
Come on, dude.
She has some good songs. Fair.
You can't even but lie.
I don't even know who you guys just talked about, so. Yeah.
I don't know. Rock, dude.
Who is that?
Chapel Room.
I don't know.
She's a.
You ever watched that Chit? Those shorts on Instagram. It's this cat named Chit. He's got like this ridiculous haircut.
No.
And I'm gonna show it when we get done with this.
Yeah, I get it.
But they made a whole video. Like they put out videos every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and he's like, "Yeah, do it, lady, do it, all the time, or whatever you like." It is real funny, and he looks goofy. He's got the glasses. But they did a whole video about him, like, discovering Chapel Rome. And they're sitting in, like, this office job. They're, like, IT guys, just, like, in a dungeon in an office building. And they're, like, videoing him, like, looking at Chapel Rome, like, on YouTube. Pink Pony Club. Oh, that's
what
it
is.
And he's watching that. You can tell he's into it. And, like, it shows him coming back from his lunch break from Subway. And he had, like, a pink, like, just, like, cut-off shirt and a pink cowboy hat. And they're like, Chit, did you go to lunch like that? He's yeah. And puts on Chaperone.
Yeah. I'll have to go listen to this on the way home.
It was like, that's guilty pleasure stuff.
Is it? I have some guilty pleasure. We won't talk about those. But.
Or maybe not. You could just be a fan of.
Hey,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm a Sabrina Carpenter head. Her and Billie Eilish, like, the time signatures of the songs, if you look at them.
They're pretty weird.
It's,
Billie Eilish
it's not,
has some really good stuff.
It's not bad music.
The production's gnarly, too, like, on those songs. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, you ready?
Couldn't think of necessarily, like, an influence, but, like, by the time I was, like, really playing a lot of drums, I'm a punk rock kid. I grew up in the punk rock scene, so I just liked all that, like, against the system, just a lot of energy and angsty things. So I gravitated to a lot of fast and just a lot of crazy drummers. But like, so. Big influence, Chad Sexton from 311, Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Abe Cunningham from Deftones, you know, those are just the drummers. They have these unique grooves. I just can't get enough of that. So I listen to like Dean Martin and Louis Prima and Gene Krupa. So my influences are all over the map. But again, if the drums are making someone either move or to be fast or slow, I just love drums. I listen to drums by themselves. It's weird. So
now for
tribal drums, I love listening to like when Native Americans get down and do like their big drum things. Like I was working at a music festival once, and we actually had the Hopi tribe come in. They did a big drum circle, and like somehow it started raining and lightning and thunder, and I could just feel these emotions in me just by the way they were hitting these drums. And it was just so mesmerizing. So,
well, they say there's something to frequencies and things,
right? And so I try to bring that with drums too. I like to smack hard and change velocity to kind of shake it up a little bit. So, I don't know. If any of that made sense, I don't know.
No, I get it.
That makes perfect. Made perfect sense. One for you though. When you wake up in the morning and go to work, what's the first song you put on?
Really? It's gonna be a Dean Martin song.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah. Dean Martin, right? We've really been to Louis Prima, Keeley Smith. I put on those. We actually have those records. We're big record heads at the house, my wife and I. But you would think I would want to just start rock and rolling right in the morning, but like I put on like a lounge show. I'm making coffee and everything. So, because back then those were, to those in Vegas, that was the hot show. There was so much energy. Have you ever seen Louis Prima perform, you guys?
No.
He is. Have you seen Jungle Book, the cartoon movie? The monkey?
Yeah.
They animated that monkey around Louis Prima because when he came in the studio, him and his band were literally jumping around and recording and just dancing. So you have to like move the mics to record
his
band. So they brought all that energy. It wasn't just like performing a song. They like made you dance. And I just was like enthralled with that. So it's like we could bring that to a rock and roll show or anything. You want to make that movement. So it's going to be something like Dean Martin. Louis Prima in the morning, but by mid-afternoon, it's Deftones, it's Pandera, you know, Hot Water Music, it's Every Time I Die, it's hardcore, it's weird, it's all over the map. Whitney Houston sometimes. We were on tour, and I walked into the deli, what was playing?
Whitney Houston.
And No Shame, I was singing and dancing.
It was a good set.
And the whole deli was moving, and there you go again, music making you move, so.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense with that, dude, because, I mean, there was several times where, like, if you wasn't moving, you wasn't alive, man.
Yeah.
I mean, great set. All right, let's talk a little bit about man, tell me a little bit about the recording process for the new EP.
Yeah.
What's the word, man?
I think I'm trying to figure it out. It's technically just an album. Like, it just met album threshold. I think an EP is 5 or less songs.
Hell yeah, okay. Well, so my bad on that.
No, it's all good. It's confusing.
I don't
need that. I was, like, thinking about it as you said.
I call everything an EP.
Yeah. There's an LP, which I don't know what it even stands for, and there's EP. I don't even know what that stands for. There's a difference.
Extended play.
I'm curious.
Long play.
Yeah. Okay.
So wouldn't extended play be shorter than the long play?
Yeah, that is kind of goofy.
And then you have the word mixtape now.
What is a mixtape?
Mixtape is where you made a tape for a girl you used to like back in the day. And be like, hey, babe, put this on.
I'm glad we had this. Okay, I'm just going to call things albums.
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah. Recording. That's what I've been doing. It's just a recording.
It's just a recording.
It's pretty much.
Man, the new one.
But it was cool. It took about a year to do, actually. So it's been under the seams for about a year. We recorded a spot called Eternal Beyond Studio in Florence, Mississippi, which is 15 minutes away from probably 10 minutes from Jackson. And Nate Maines is the one who, Nate Maines and Chad Wesley were a big help now. They both helped produce the whole thing over time. And, we did drums and bass together, and all that was done together, and then I did all the guitar overdubs and vocals, and we tried to keep it as organic as we could with the sound, so. Nice mics, cool people, good process.
Hell yeah. What about, like, with song selection and, I gotta say, the live portion is true to form with what's recorded. What about the process, man?
Man, the process itself is, we're trying to keep it, like you said, as like, we kind of developed the sound live, what we know we wanted to sound like. We try to transfer that
It was mostly all live tracks.
It was a lot of the live track. Yeah. Like, I did overdubs on guitars, but it was like one take overdubs, so I could get a bunch of stuff I wanted to type in.
Didn't want to overthink it? Just wanted to play it?
Yeah, I just wanted to play it. Play, you know? Here, not there. And these are songs that I've been written since 2019 to... Well, the most recent one on that was Ain't Shit Free, and that was come out in... heard that in 2023. And so it's like getting a bunch of older songs that I've been wanting to push out finally. So yeah. It was cool.
Success.
Yeah, thank you. It was interesting. It's fun. It's like kind of weird. Like, they're like become like your little babies. And so it's like, want to make sure they're done right. And yeah, done right. It was stressful, but in a good way. Like, it was a fun stress.
Necessary stress.
Well, the hardest part about them babies is like, man, it's a fun question, but it's different for each one.
Mm-hmm.
When is one actually finished? Is it after you recorded it? Because it might be while you're on tour and like just one night somebody was in some kind of a mood and like, oh, we found a different way to, I think we like this way better. And the song grew a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's like, shit, we already cut it.
Yeah.
That's what we actually still have that moment with some of these songs, yeah, where like we kind of change them for a live show. Like, it sounds similar, but we do certain things to kind of, oh, this would go awesome there that we've actually recorded it, you know? So, yeah, that's a real thing.
I will say the best way to listen to us is to see us live.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I agree with that. Well, what about it, man? Like, tell me a little bit about your experience. Like, just as far as, like, man, we got these lists of songs together, and, like, we're going in there, and we're about to...
Yeah, I mean, for me...
get this thing live.
Hey, I play bass, man. It was pretty straightforward for me. I went there just one long day. 12 hours in the studio, and we tracked every song, live tracked it all to the metronome, did about 2 or 3 takes of each song, and then from there the producer just kind of picked what parts were the best, and that was it for me, at least.
All right, guys, with the yearly trials and that being in the name, is there any prep before a show, some kind of a ritual, some kind of a...
You're
we got to burn
right,
incense.
Looking at it right here, brother.
Actually, we have a funny story about incense.
Red cup, water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's red cup with water.
Hydrate.
It's water. The incense mentioned, we were driving in the van. It was hot. Simon had incense, because you know how 3 dudes in a van smell. Simon
it was
brought incense, being the smart guy.
And it was
guy.
Just on a whim. I just brought it
smart
on a whim.
Smart guy. Yeah. Naturally smart. No, he lights the incense, and all of a sudden we go, is it the incense, or do we feel much cooler?
It was probably not much cooler. Nothing. Just smelled better.
It's not a pre-show.
It's one of those psychological things.
The aromatics fooled us, but ritual? I don't know. Get a bite in before we play? I don't know. What do we do?
Yeah, like sometimes that'll throw you off. Especially if you're singing, like what if you get to know yourself, but if I have too many of these, it might be a little burpy or...
Yeah.
Oh, now can you have too much fried food? I'll have to take a shit.
Oh yeah, I can't eat anything fried.
These are real
talks. That's real stuff, yeah.
We're getting to the nitty gritty.
I like it.
We go deep here.
We do.
Yeah. All the way to your bowels.
I think I might change it to yearly bowels. I don't know.
Yearly bowels.
Shake, rattle. There we go.
That's it.
Oh, great pun. Oh, well, dude, like, tell me about a little bit about the songwriting process.
Man, it's a strange process. Like, when I write a song, it's either I'll sit on it for too long or it never gets done, or sometimes I'll write one and a day, 2 days a week, and cut it there, and just, what can I do to improve, like, lyrics-wise, it takes the longest, music-wise, not so much, like, I'm always super meticulous about, even when I put incorrect, like, grammar in, it's purposefully done, so I get super meticulous about lyrics, and I overthink, and I give it a song a month, and if it don't, I don't like it, back to the drawing board for writing, so...
Is that just for you, or is it...
I think I write, like, the structure of the songs, and I get with these guys, like, how do you make this suck less?
That's what he does, he'll send me stuff.
Yeah.
Learn this set.
Yeah, and that was going to be, like, when I passed the ball over to y'all, it's, like, the entire process, because, like, one thing that you expressed to me is, like, when we were talking about doing the show, it's, like, if we're going to do it, the band's going to have to.
Yes.
Because this is band-centric, and, like, I'm not doing it by myself. And I was like, that's great.
I'm a lyric, like, it's funny, they start out as, like, folk-sounding songs, and then I take it over, like, let's unfolk it, let's turn it into a rock tune,
on the new one we've been working on, you kind of threw it at us at rehearsal. Yeah. And we're like, and it was vibing, and we're like, cool. And then we're, what were we at, Muscle Shoals?
Yeah.
He's like, we're playing it. I was like,
yeah, sit it on him, dude.
That was the most stressful 3 minutes of my life. So like, he's just throwing this at us. We don't know where it's going. But it worked out because I can see what he's doing. He's vibing it, feeling out what's going to happen. Where will these guys take it next? And then we pulled it off, but like, I can see why you did that. Like, where's this song
sitting? It's because I'm a cruel man.
Ready? I should keep this chorus twice or three times, but.
See, what's funny about that song is me and Hayden wrote it together probably like a year or so ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so by the time we played it in Muscle Shoals, I barely remembered it, too.
No, I remembered it enough.
I
feel it was a test.
I remembered it enough.
We were bullying Brandon that day.
We know the song. See if the drummer.
But that's my job as a bass player, keeping you in check.
Yeah, right? Least important part, the drums, right?
Yeah.
Who cares about the time?
Who cares about the time? But I think we communicate well as a band, too. Just on the road, Simon, we're having
fun. Well, I think we capture some of those moments, like just with the film today. It's like, you know, just it being this kind of show and being able to see it like this is like just head nods and like, here we are. Yeah. And kind of getting it in there.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad you noticed that. That's cool.
Yeah. That's
they
super
do say
cool
communication is 70% nonverbal. So
yeah.
You can shoot the eye. I watch their body movements too. Guitar players do the thing with their feet and their left hand. Bass players do a little thing. Yeah. he's doing a solo.
Drummers
here we go.
Drummers do the faces.
Oh man, I'm probably making stupid faces. I'm probably thinking about dinner. I'm like, what the?
That was the exact face a couple times.
I can't wait to watch it. No, but I think we get along well, we communicate well, we survive a van with not strangling each other, and just over coffee too, Simon's like, hey, you're coming in too soon on this one spot. I'm going to do a little bloop, 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 wait for, then come in, and then now it's, you know what I mean, not much ego, like, no, I'll play what I play when I want to play. I feel like
ego
overall working with these guys, I think we know, like, when not to step on each other's parts, let's bring the dynamic, you know, I think we all speak dynamics pretty well. And so just understanding that, and that makes us tight team, I think.
Well, guys, I appreciate y'all coming up to play for us today, and for being on the pod. I got 3 more questions. I want to wrap it up.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
He's been the host with the most.
Yes.
Right.
He made burgers for us. He gave us some. They're good too.
Yeah. I didn't catch anything on fire today, which I'm very impressed with. It's all flammable here, by the way.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you want a good burger, come see him right here.
Dude, we cook every Saturday. Like, we might do hot dogs or whatever else. We do give those out. Like,
come on,
you walk in the store and be like, you look like you ain't had nothing to eat today.
Y'all heard it.
You're like,
that's what he said to us.
Yeah. You guys had breakfast? Did you guys eat today?
Yeah.
Get you some.
Sound like your grandma, right?
Hey, dude, what you?
Boy, you ate today. You don't look like. But just to wrap it up, guys, is just from the formation, this might be more for you two. I mean, you're a new member, but like just as far as like the yearly trials of it and just for the sound accomplished, like even if you were to just put today, was it worth it?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. I think right now we're the strongest formation that we've ever kind of really been in. It's more of even outside of like musicianship skill, it's personality and how long we like how well we all get along and everything makes a difference. Positive thing going on. Positive momentum.
Yeah.
Anything else y'all want to add?
I think it's like I said, I'm just obsessed with playing music, so I'm glad I found a cool band to play with that actually has songs that I can relate to. And it's been neat to see the feedback, you know. We're here on the podcast, so that's cool.
Yeah.
It was worth driving here today.
It was absolutely cool.
I'd come back next Saturday. Those hot dogs ready.
Yeah, get the hot dogs. They got relish.
Got hot sauce.
We are about to start broadening out the garnishes.
That's sweet.
We will put hot salsa on your hot dogs.
I'm a hot sauce guy. I'm a hot sauce guy.
Everybody. Wow, that was great. All right, anything you'd like to add to that? Because I wanted to start with you for question two.
Oh.
Shoot me with question two.
All right. What is the venue in your mind that, man, if I could play anywhere, where would it be?
The venue in my mind where I can
You already know. Anywhere. You know what it is.
I don't. That's the funny part. I got to think about this. My truthful answer is I don't know, because the best venue that I can play is a place where my friends can come, where my family can come, where the people who matter come, and they all show up and support. I'm there to move people, I'm there to have an impact on people, and having that impact on the people closest to you is what matters the most to me, you know?
So I get that.
Wherever I can play that is able to impact the people that matter.
Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, dream about
Madison Square Garden. Why not?
MSG.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer if you really focus and want something, you pretty much 9 out of 10.
He dude. Stole it right out of my mouth, dude. Yeah.
And we're talking about going to
I would think, I'd just like to play like some super badass festivals more so than a venue. Like, it would be cool to like.
Rally
would be cool. Or even like Bonnaroo. Yeah. Or something like that one day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're right.
You, big time.
You're flirting with the right networks that know people that play in them, dude. Yeah. Like,
oh, too bad Warped Tour isn't a thing anymore.
But, I mean.
There.
I got a lot of respect for like the festivals and stuff like that. Like Bonnaroo definitely comes to mind, but like, man, one thing that I couldn't believe, and it was either like this year, maybe a year or two ago, was like Memphis in May died.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do Beale Street Music Festival anymore.
They don't do that anymore?
No. As far as I know, it's done.
I have not seen it.
And you know, like Shaky Knees was coming up every, well, they did Shaky Knees and Memphis in May the same weekend for years. And, like, they would just kind of share the lineup because it's geographically close. But we were always at Memphis in May, but when you would see videos from Shaky Knees, you could tell all the crowd was going to Atlanta instead. Because you could see the same thing.
Yeah.
They wanted to be there instead.
Yeah.
Wow. Which is weird. They're both kind of music towns, but I don't know.
It's weird how that happens, huh?
Yeah.
Or it could have been something else. Maybe it had gotten passed down and, like, whoever took it over didn't really understand the vision and couldn't carry on the tour. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was gone.
No, that's crazy. I keep telling Hayden we should go out to Sturgis Motorcycle Rally.
Dude, you
familiar? Black Hills, South Dakota. I used to go
I'm
up there.
Down.
I don't want to sound old, but I used to go up there half of my lifetime ago running sound up there. So anybody, I know some of the audience members out there listening, I know you go to rallies, so expect us to roll through, but I want to do it so bad. And these guys are ready. Hey,
we're
not
about that. We got a van.
We have a guy at our open mic, Wes Davis. He plays bass, stand-up bass, electric bass, whatever kind of bass. He'll just play bass for you. But once a year, his band, it gets called up, the Kenneth Bryant Band, is that right? And they play Sturgis every year. And I can't tell you how many videos and photos. Dude, it looks like it rules.
Oh, you can't describe it. I could try it. You gotta go.
Yeah, like.
But I think he would do well.
I think we'll.
Hell yeah, I would too. But that's why like festivals instead of a place, man. Cause like, it's a different experience and like.
Every night's different.
It's always crazy. You know how this band called me? You know what their name was? I don't know how they found me.
That's the name of the band.
Yeah, and like you would see them on flyers, and you would be like, "What is that?"
Yeah,
and I went and saw them like two or three times just cause of that, and like all they do for the most part, because that's the only time I ever see them like really touring, festivals. They're just on a festival run. I don't know how they found me, but they did, and it's on there.
That reminds me of Back to the Future. I don't know how they found me, but they found me. You know what I'm talking about?
Wow. Well, last question with y'all is, man, you can take it one or two ways. Is it can be a location or a book read, but like, what is, what's the best way to kind of find some peace of mind? How do you escape?
I read a lot. I really do. My wife works at Barnes & Noble, so she's always bringing books.
You got a favorite genre?
I don't. Like, my mix is so weird. I'm reading Dorian Gray by, what is that? No, I'm sorry. I'm reading some Oscar Wilde. I'm reading Flea's new book. I just read The Shawshank Redemption by Stephen King. I love that movie. So it's just kind of whatever. I don't know. I'm all over the map. If I can entertain myself pretty much anything. But
what y'all do?
Well, I grew up in the country, so I got to say for me, it's disconnecting. being away from technology, being away from everything, just being out in nature, out in the woods with a stick, man, you know?
I get that. I'm a similar kind of thing. Like, it's like, for some reason, I find comfort in water. And I always have. So, yes, like, on a kayak or by water, it doesn't matter, just sit by water. Just listen to the wind rustle across the top of it. It clears my head. It's like, it's cathartic.
There's something out here, being right by all the trees. I notice Mother Earth sings to me when I'm outside having coffee in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Something out there. It's cool.
It ever seemed like to you, especially in the mornings when you first got out of here, like just in this part of the country, that it kind of felt like time moved a little slower?
Yeah.
I try to explain this to my friends back home, you know, like, how was it? I'm like, man, just come visit. I can try to tell you, but the air smells like it. Like, I know what Johnny Cash is singing about some of the songs, when he smells that southern air. Like, when I heard that song just recently, I was like, he's talking about, it's like, you know what I mean?
I think
you gotta live it, I guess.
I think it's a good way to distract from, like, just like you said, like being in the southern air, like going out in the morning, like it's a good way that really distracts you from life's daily shit, almost. So like working jobs is not natural. Like stuff, yeah, like that, you know, it's like we're supposed to be out here, man. We're supposed to be one with nature.
My new favorite hobby is yard work.
Yeah.
You know, you come over there, it looks nice. I'm out there, I like putting my hands in the dirt, making burn piles, trimming trees, mowing lawns. Yeah.
Funny story, the older I get, the more I enjoy working on cars and just being in an engine.
I get that.
Come fix the Lincoln. Come fix the Lincoln.
Yeah, come out, man. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, fixed our van.
I'll read, and while you guys online.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Just one thing before we go. As far as the socials, where they can find the music, website, where is the best place to stay caught up with everything y'all have going on?
So I have Instagram, it's Hayden C. Hunter, and we have a Facebook at Hayden Hunter and the Yearly Trials. But all socials pretty much Hayden C. Hunter on my end. We all do a bunch of different ventures, so we all just promote the show individually on Instagram.
I don't.
But Spotify, Hayden Hunter and the Yearly Trials, every streaming platform, honestly.
Honestly, if you Google your name, you pop up.
What? I never tried, dude. I'm like, at least feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's all my crime records.
Yearly Trials.
My trials.
That's what the name came from.
Yeah. There you go. Anything else to do?
Pardon?
Anything else to do?
I don't know.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for coming on Porch Talk.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Yeah, it was awesome.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.